There are three things that are kind of counterintuitive from what you mostly are heard. You know, people will tell you, oh, well, a story is a beginning, a middle, and an end, you know, and they'll think that that's all I have to do. No, the real elements of a successful story are a character I care about. Who is the star of the story? And by the way, don't make it yourself. Even if you are central to the action, make somebody else the hero. I'll get into that in a little bit more. The second is you've got to have a compelling conflict. There has to be some tension, some challenge for the hero of the story to overcome, some kind of situation that people can identify with to think to themselves, wow, are they going to emerge from this? You know, they have to be for a time, you know, obviously they're going to probably 9 times out of 10, they will successfully emerge from whatever kerfuffle has happened. But there needs to be at a point in the story, doubt as to the outcome, and conflict is essential. Something that has to be resolved. And then finally, and this is to me, one of the most important things people underestimate, you have to have a moral. What was this for? Why did I tell you this? You know, even something really sort of blunt force of trauma, like Fast and the Furious, do you notice how much they bang away on family?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is not accidental. God bless Vin Diesel for all of the, like I say, blunt force trauma, you know, deep voice. He bangs away at family, so God bless him, because he does know people need to emerge feeling like this added up to something. And your moral is really important with the taste you leave in people's mouths. Do they feel good? Do they feel like it was worthwhile to hear this? Or was this really just you bragging about yourself? In which case, I'm left with a mouthful of ashes, and I don't want you to win. This is why it's so important that in a story, you do not portray yourself as the hero. Rather, you portray yourself as an observer who sees someone doing something admirable or struggling, and somebody else leaps in to help. And what this will do is this: you will still get credit for admiring that kind of action. But importantly, you're standing next to the audience, shoulder to shoulder, watching the events, and now they feel like you're a friend for having shared that, rather than somebody who is trying to self-aggrandize. I tell this in every pitch or every speech I give or every clinic I conduct. I hit everybody with this quote from George Orwell: "No autobiography is to be trusted unless it reveals something disgraceful. Any man who gives a good account of himself is probably lying, since any life, when looked at from the inside, is really just a series of defeats." When you tell a story where you are the hero, they don't look up at you with admiration. They look up at you. They look at you with jealousy and skepticism. You think you're the hero of your story? You just made yourself unbelievable. So when telling a story, an essential element to it, okay, as I was saying before, it's like, I need a hero I can root for. I need a character that's compelling. I need to care what happens to them. 2, I need a conflict that they have to overcome. 3, I need there to be a resolution that teaches me something that I look back and I think that's worth repeating anytime I want to portray the same lesson. Okay. But also always remember, as part of that moral, it's not that I'm wonderful. Okay. Yeah.
Don't get that.
Don't go there.
Now, this is interesting because, you know, you see, you know, Fast and Furious is a great example. I think maybe 8, 9 movies that have carried the narrative all the way through that, right? And then you've got on the other end of the spectrum, our attention span at 15 seconds.
What those movies do is they give you your medicine cloaked in action.
Right.
I think, you know, Vin Diesel didn't get to be an actor, except that he generated his own future. Nobody cast him in anything until he started making his own movies that he was in. So this is no dummy.
No, right? This guy knows what's happening.
He knows what's happening. And Sylvester Stallone, it was the very same story. Rocky was a masterpiece at this idea of the underdog story. Wasn't that I won. It's that at least I have the self-respect of knowing I was still standing. We all glory in that, going, you don't have to win. You just have to try, you know, and
life it's lesson.
Right. It's a lesson we can all embrace. Sylvester Stallone, people underestimate how brilliant that guy is, because what they do is, it's not a story about winning. It's a story about trying. And go ahead. Sorry,
man. You know, can we double click on that? Because this is so one of the most important aspects of really anything in life. But when we think about how organizations, whether it be not-for-profits or government or, you know, companies are trying to work out how to solve something together, there is this element of fear that I find always creeps in around, I think we can do it ourselves. We can go it alone. We don't need to have someone else's help to do this. And you look at this and just go, well, you just need to try. So if we think about, you know, you're in one organization, I'm in another, we've decided somehow that we have to try and achieve an outcome together. And you know that we have to tell each other a story. And once we've got that set, we've then got to tell other people a story to believe that together we can create 5 instead of 2.
Mm.
Like, what is the approach to start crafting that story? Like, when you've just got a pad and a pen and you are sitting down with a cup of coffee to get started for the first time.
Yeah.
How do you go from completely
from the blank page, right,
to something that is compelling using what you've just described?
I've got a good answer for that. Here's what you can take the blank piece of paper and then you say, what do I know? What do I know? Here's what I know. Mm-hmm. These are the things I believe in. If I listed the 3 most important things to me in business, or the most important principles of the way I do business, your values are absolutely have to be the alpha towards the omega, which is, and by the way, another interesting thing, I'll throw on another tip for that. These are the things I believe in. I'm looking for a partner that believes essentially the same thing, so that even if we disagree, we both know we're pointing this way.
Right.
Like, we may have friction, but that's healthy as long as we're both pointing north or east or whatever. Business cultures are vastly more important than people think they are. There's a phrase they use in Silicon Valley, which is culture eats strategy. Because people are going to do what they're going to do, and they're going to do the things they believe in. Unless you force them in a position where they're doing things that they're uncomfortable about, and then they'll fight you every step of the way, sometimes passively, and that's actually worse than publicly. So let's start with this. You write down, what are the things that are most important to me about the things I want to achieve, and the values that I, in the way I achieve those things. Now, here's another thing to write down. What would you never do? People often don't take the time to write down the rules they will not violate, the principles they will not betray, the values they will not compromise on. Let me give you an example from real life. Johnson & Johnson, who made Tylenol, the painkiller, they were faced with a very uncomfortable thing. I think this might have been the early 90s. I can't remember exactly. But there was a cyanide scare in Chicago. Some douche nozzle had spiked Tylenol in the Chicago market with cyanide, deliberately to drive the stock price down, and he was shorting it. And this was the way for him to make a lot of money.
Right.
Well, the FBI finally tracked him down. And what they did also was that they confronted Johnson & Johnson with, this is happening, but we believe it's isolated to the Chicagoland market. So rather than pull your products from all over the country, we're 99% sure you can do it in just Chicago and you'll be okay. But because Johnson & Johnson said, our number one principle, our value, it either means something or it doesn't, we will never take chances with the health of our customers. I don't care if it's 1%. If it's 1%, we're yanking it from the entire country's stock shelves. It's going to cost us millions.
Mm.
But because they had this value, this is something we will never do, perversely, the stock price skyrocketed after the event because people realized, oh, you can trust these people.
Right.
which means that the brand name is more valuable than it went than before this whole thing happened.
Mm.
So when you sit down and you're thinking about your rules for who do you want as a partner? I need somebody who will agree with what we're trying to accomplish using the ethics and the values that we agree with. But these are some things we will never do. And if you would do those things, this is non-negotiable. This is not a partnership I want to be part of.